All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Just bear with me a few more minutes. We're almost where I want to be. Evan, if you'll be so kind as to go back to Dr. King's Three Evils of the Society.
Certainly.
I wish that I could say that this is just a passing phase in the cycle of our nation's life. Certainly times of war, times of reaction throughout the society. But I suspect that we are now experiencing the coming to the surface of a triple-pronged sickness that has been lurking within our body politic from its very beginning. That is the sickness of racism, excessive materialism, and militarism. Not only is this our nation's dilemma, it is the plague of Western civilization. As early as 1906, W.E.B. Du Bois prophesied that the problem of the 20th century will be the problem of the color line. Now, as we stand two-thirds into this crucial period of history, we know full well that racism is still that hound of hell which dogs the tracks of our civilization. Ever since the birth of our nation, white America has had a schizophrenic personality on the question of race. She has been torn between selves. A self in which she proudly professed the great principles of democracy, and a self in which she madly practiced the antithesis of democracy. This tragic duality has produced a strange indecisiveness and ambivalence toward the Negro, causing America to take a step backward simultaneously with every step forward on the question of racial justice. To be at once attracted to the Negro and repelled by him, to love and to hate him. And there has never been a solid, unified, and determined thrust to make justice a reality for Afro-Americans. The step backward has a new name today. It is called the white backlash. But the white backlash is nothing new. It is the surfacing of old prejudices, hostilities, and ambivalences that have always been there. It was caused neither by the cry of black power, nor by the unfortunate recent wave of riots in our cities. The white backlash of today is rooted in the same problem that has characterized America ever since the black man landed in chains on the shores of this nation. This does not imply that all white Americans are racist. Far from it. Many white people have, through a deep moral compulsion, fought long and hard for racial justice. Nor does it mean that America has made no progress in her attempt to cure the body politic of the disease of racism, or that the dogma of racism has not been considerably modified in recent years. However, for the good of America, it is necessary to refute the idea that the dominant ideology in our country, even today, is freedom and equality. While racism is just an occasional departure from the norm on the part of a few bigoted extremists, racism can well be that corrosive evil that will bring down the curtain on Western civilization. Arnold Toynbee has said that some 26 civilizations have risen upon the face of the earth. Almost all of them have descended into the junk heaps of destruction. The decline and fall of these civilizations, according to Toynbee, was not caused by external invasions, but by internal decay. They failed to respond creatively to the challenges impinging upon them. If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men. The second aspect of our afflicted society is extreme materialism. An Asian writer has portrayed our dilemma in candid terms. He says, "You call your 1,000 material devices labor-saving machinery, yet you are forever busy. With the multiplying of your machinery, you grow increasingly fatigued, anxious, nervous, dissatisfied. Whatever you have, you want more. And wherever you are, you want to go somewhere else. Your devices are neither time-saving nor soul-saving machinery. There are so many sharp spurs which urge you on to invent more machinery and to do more business. This tells us something about our civilization that cannot be cast aside as a prejudiced charge by an Eastern thinker who is jealous of Western prosperity. We cannot escape the indictment. This does not mean that we must turn back the clock of scientific progress. No one can overlook the wonders that science has wrought for our lives. The automobile will not abdicate in favor of the horse and buggy, of the train in favor of the stagecoach, of the tractor in favor of the hand plow, of the scientific method in favor of ignorance and superstition. But our moral lag must be redeemed. When scientific power outruns moral power, we end up with guided missiles and misguided men.
So when scientific power outweighs, I forgot the other word he used.
But guided missiles and misguided men.
Yeah, man. How on point was that, man?
Too on point. I mean, when he started talking about the answer, you know what I mean by the answer? That's when he lost his life.
Yeah, man, it is, let's take a couple phone calls, man. Who do we have up next?
Yeah, first up here, we got Dick from Madison.
Hey, Dick, what's going on, man? How you doing, man? You ever hear his speech?
I have parts of it, but I have to tell you that I think that these speeches should be required listening for this country. It's funny you should bring this speech up. I'm going to throw one at you, and you check it out sometime. You probably already heard it, but Leonard Pitts, the writer from the Miami Herald.
Yeah, I know him.
Pick him up.
Read his stuff.
Okay. I read his stuff all the time. And guess what I had circled from yesterday?
What?
This country's socialism for the rich and rugged individualism for the poor.
Well, you know, Dr. King said what they advocate is socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor. Right on point.
Right on point. A King speech that Stu played last night that hit me.
What is the blueprint of your life? Yes.
Yeah, he was talking to a group of middle school students. There's so many great speeches.
High the same year, and he was speaking to me in that speech.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, there's so many great speeches of Dr. King's that all the society wants to play is I have a dream. But they don't know that the I have a dream Dr. King was far different from the Dr. King who was speaking
and
now.
My biggest thing was how anti-Vietnam he was.
Right. I mean, and well, that cost him his life. Hey, Dick, we got to move on. I wish you had more time, man. Thank you very much. Who do we have up next, Evan?
We've got John from Ho-Chunkville.
Hey, John. Thank you very much for hanging on. You say what?
Well, thanks for being there. I have heard portions, but not the entire speech. It amazed me how much the applause sounded like rippling water. But Martin spoke truth to power. Quaker maxim. I think that needs to be updated to not speak truth to power, but speak truth to one another. Power isn't listening. I guess that's all I have to say today.
You know what, man? I love your anecdotes. And, you know, keep calling, man, and keep listening. I love to hear you speak. Evan, let's see, where are we at? We got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go back, Maestro.
Let's do it.
When we foolishly maximize the minimum and minimize the maximum, we sign the warrant for our own day of doom. It is this moral lag in our thing-oriented society that blinds us to the human realities around us and encourages us in the greed and exploitation which create the sector of poverty in the midst of wealth. Again, we have deluded ourselves into believing the myth that capitalism grew and prospered out of the Protestant ethic of hard work and sacrifice. The fact is that capitalism was built on the exploitation and suffering of black slaves. And continues to thrive on the exploitation of the poor, both black and white, both here and abroad. If Negroes and poor whites do not participate in the free flow of wealth within our economy, they will forever be poor, giving their energy, their talents, and their limited funds to the consumer market, but reaping few benefits and services in return.
You know, Evan, man, just, you know, he was just on point.
That doesn't even cover it, man. It really doesn't.
I know
what you mean.
It's the same thing today. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. King's Three Evils of the Society. We'll be right back.